Amen. Good morning again. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love God's Word here. Genesis 31. We are in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis 31. Why did you steal my gods, is the title. We'll see what that's all about. Aren't you grateful that you have a God that can't be stolen? Wow. Funny story. I'm studying on Laban, who we're going to talk about here this morning. His idols got stolen. Jacob's wife stole the idols. I'm studying yesterday, and we've been looking for a coffee pot for 3 days. I'm sitting there yesterday going, somebody stole my idol, you know? I can't make it without coffee. So I get home yesterday after I studied, and my dear little wife says, I have the coffee pot. It's in the Sunday school. I was making hot chocolate for the kids. So, man, was I busted. So, pray for me. Oh, my. Maybe I need decaf, huh? Yeah, let's pray. Lord, oh, one other announcement. Gosh. We have a new addition to our family here at Calvary Chapel Palm Desert. Little Amira Rye, the little baby, the daughter now of Andrew and Elisa. And she was born last week. 10 pounds. 21 inches long. She starts kindergarten next week. Like, man. Wow. Just skip right over the newborn clothes, right? Man, oh man. Wow. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for just the many blessings in our lives, especially babies. Oh, Lord, great joy. And little babies that you bless us with. Thank you, God, for Andrew and for Elisa. Just bless their lives, bless their family. It is absolutely incredible to watch what you do in people's lives, just to watch what you've done in their lives. How you took what the enemy meant for evil and turned it around for good. Transformed lives, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And now they have a wonderful Christian family because of you and your great love. And so this morning, Lord, we commit this time to you. Pray that you would lead us and guide us in all truth through your word. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight. Not just another religious service or Bible study, but change us, Lord. Through your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit, thank you, God, that you change us. You always have something for us in your word. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive what you have for us here this morning. And you, Lord, through your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit, feed your sheep, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked and speckled and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked and speckled and gray-spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. So at the close of chapter 30 last week, verse 43, we read that in spite of Laban's continued manipulation and deceitfulness, Jacob had become exceedingly prosperous. Many times we see, just in this first section, why that was possible, why that happened. It's because Jacob was now in tune with God. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a manipulator. Prior to Bethel, which means the house of God, where he totally sold out and committed his life to the Lord. That still happens today. When we go to the house of the Lord, there's always an opportunity to sell out and to commit our lives to God and allow God to direct us and guide us and protect us and correct us. And so we see that's what happened in Jacob's life. What an amazing transformation. We've seen that many times in this fellowship, even with Andrew and Elisa. We've seen an incredible transformation in Andrew's life. I won't go into the details, but it's nothing short of miraculous what God has done in their life, in their marriage, and in their family. And so here we see that even though Laban was continually trying to rip off Jacob, he had become exceedingly prosperous because God's hand was upon his life. It says he had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. When he had left Canaan on the run, he had nothing. He had absolutely nothing. And now look what God has done. As we see here in our first section of chapter 31, it was causing some major problems because of Jacob's prosperity. And here in the first verse, Jacob overhears a conversation between his brothers-in-law, Laban's sons. And this is what, again, we call fake news. What they had to say about Jacob was not true. Isn't it amazing how 3, 4, 5 years ago we never heard that term, fake news. And all of a sudden it's a popular thing. All of a sudden lying and scandals and deceitfulness and all of these things are very popular today in our country. But the good news for you and I as Christians is that we serve the one and we know the one who knows the truth about every situation. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ today. Stay on your knees. Stay in prayer. Pray for everyone. Pray for our president. Pray for the Democrats, Republicans. We need to pray for them all. But for the grace of God, go any of us. We were deceivers. We were manipulators, many of us. And look what God has done in our lives. And so Jacob overheard this conversation, fake news. He had made a contract with Laban, a contract that was extremely in favor of Laban. That when the flocks multiplied, the ones that were just one solid color would go to Laban. They were the most desirable ones. And all the spotted ones and speckled ones and streaked ones that Jacob would get to keep. And isn't it just like God that all of a sudden, man, Jacob streaked and speckled and striped ones, they all began to multiply. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to be deceitful in business deals? We don't have to, manipulate people and try to scam them, which is very, again, popular today. I know business people say, well, pastor, say, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. And I go, yeah, it is, but you're not a dog, you're a sheep. And there's a difference there. You don't run with the pack of dogs. You fellowship with the flock of God. And so when the herds and flocks would multiply, all the speckled and spotted animals, which were the less desirable ones, would go to Jacob. Man, he had a ton now. This is kind of humorous, isn't it? The way God works. Solid colored ones, the cream of the crop would go to Laban and his sons. And from a human perspective, Laban got such a deal. And while Jacob, or so it seemed, got the short end of the stick. I don't mind as a believer at times in my walk with the Lord when I get the short end of the stick. Sometimes you have to do that to make a sacrifice. But that's when we put our faith and trust in the Lord. Isn't he the one that tells us that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can even think or ask? Our God is able to provide our needs according to his riches and glory in some incredible ways. And sometimes, as a matter of fact, all of the time over the years, I have seen the hand of God when I've got the short end of the stick, when people thought, oh, I'm going to get over on him for this or that. And so as time went on, Laban and his sons were becoming increasingly angry at Jacob. Bitterness, anger, resentment, because what seemed to be a great contract at the time for them is now taken on nothing but distress. It's taken a distressing turn for them in Jacob's favor. And as you can see in the first two verses, Laban has trained up his sons to be just like him. We make disciples of our children. Do you know that? The apple does not fall far from the tree, it is said. We make disciples of ourselves. Have you noticed? Our kids grow up just like us, walk like us, talk like us, act like us. And they even use some of the sayings that we say, same cliches, just like we do with the same cliches our parents said. And so they grew up just like Dad. And it wasn't a good thing. Selfish, self-centered, deceitfulness, a liar and a thief. The whole family was filled with deception. Always trying to manipulate and control others. Looking out for number one, they say today. And isn't that the philosophy of today? The world says, I'm just looking out for number one. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. You are a selfish man. That's what the Bible says. We are not self-made. God has created us. He has created us in his image. He has created us to be a reflection of him. That's the type of man or woman God desires you and I to be. We don't have to run with the pack of dogs, if you would. Isn't it wonderful that we can trust the good shepherd to take care of his sheep? 14 and 15, we see that he even ripped off his own daughters. How sad is that? Spent all of their money, squandered all their dowry money, the whole thing. They were flat broke. He had nothing to give his daughters when they got married. And so this time it was not that Jacob outmaneuvered Laban. Jacob was now a changed man. Second part of verse 5 tells us that the God of his father is now with him. God's plan can never be stopped. Do you know that? We need to keep that at the forefront of our minds. Is there anything or anyone greater than God? Absolutely not. God is in control. The fake news that we see in the first couple of verses, Jacob's a thief. Be careful what you hear. Be careful of forming an opinion. There are three sides to every story. Do you know that? Laban's, Jacob's, and God's. And the same holds true today. Over the years, I've learned the hard way that there are three sides to every story. I believe one side and get in the middle of a crossfire. And guess who gets hit in the crossfire? Person in the middle, man. And sometimes even Christian can seem so convincing. Oh, Pastor Joe, so-and-so did this or that. And, you know, oh, man, your heart goes out to him. Because my Bible tells me that love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And you believe everybody. And sometimes you take a hit for that. Until you hear the other side of the story. You know, so we have to be very, very careful because God knows all sides. Oh, Jacob's a thief. That's why God hates gossip. Oh, how I wish that the gospel would spread as fast as the gossip in the church today. God wants the gospel to go forth, not the gossip. Oh, he's taken away all that was our father's, all of his wealth. You know what they were thinking about? Themselves. They were thinking about their inheritance. Laban also bought into the fake news as well, and his countenance, it says in the second verse, was not favorable to Jacob, meaning that his heart became poisoned from his sons. We can be poisoned by gossip and lies and slander. We have to be very, very careful. It will poison your heart. And you know what poison does? It spreads. Envy and jealousy are wicked sins. Matthew 27:18. Says this. This blew me away. I forgot all about this scripture verse. Matthew 27:18 says that it put Jesus on the cross. For he, Jesus, knew that they handed him over because of envy. Isn't that crazy? Envy is a wicked sin. But for some reason, you know, we think God grades sins on a curve. We have the dirty dozen and the filthy five and the terrible two and whatever. Cardinal sin is a popular term. Sin is sin. Sin sent Jesus Christ to the cross. Sin sends people to hell without Jesus Christ. And we have to be very, very careful because there are the sins of the flesh, the outward things that are recognizable, but there are also the sins of the soul, envy, jealousy, strife, all of those things that will erode your soul. James says in 3:16 that for wherever envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And so notice in verse 3, then the Lord said to Jacob, isn't it wonderful when we're in the midst of fake news and we're in the midst of tribulation and all of these things, when our world is being rocked, that we know that God will speak to us through his word. It's so wonderful to be able to hold on to the good news in a world that's filled with fake news today. That's what helps me get through every day. I hold on to the truth of God's word. We need to pray that these people would be open to the truth. No, and it says in verse 3, then the Lord spoke to, or said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers. Bless you. And he didn't say that, but bless you. Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Isn't it wonderful that every one of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ can hold on to that statement, I will be with you. God doesn't stay here and we leave. He goes with you. He's God with us. We saw in the Christmas story, Emmanuel. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, even to the end of the age. God is always with us. And God told Jacob, I will be with you. And that's a promise for you and you and you, every one of us who believe. God prepared Jacob for this moment, the same way he often leads people today. The same way he speaks to you and I today in three different ways. He's preparing Jacob for this moment. Number one, through the inner witness of the heart. Jacob knew it was time to go. He knew that the season of being with Laban and all of those was over with. He just had this witness of his heart. Secondly, there's the witness of our outer circumstances. You ever had things happen in your life that kind of gave you a nudge to show you that God's doing something and God's going to move you? And we've been through this so many times in ministry, Tina and I, where we know that circumstances are used by God. Chuck Smith always told us, God will never go against your will, but he can give you the will to go. And sometimes it's through circumstances. And sometimes we don't wonder why this is happening or that is happening. Sometimes God will give us a nudge. Don't you know? We, you know, plump little sheep need a nudge every once in a while, you know? And thirdly, God leads us through the truth of his word. And every time God has moved us in ministry, wherever it's been, or we've ever had to make decisions, God has always confirmed it through his word. Many times in scripture. And for Jacob, God had prepared him, and the time has come. He says, I will be with you. Another confirmation through his wives, Rachel and Leah, we find in verses 4 through 16. Will they be willing to go? God has nudged my heart. God has confirmed in my heart. God has shown me through his word, literally this morning, that it's time to go. But will they be willing to leave their father and their family and go? And that's what verses 4 through 16 is all about. Today, communication in marriage is very, very important. Husbands, if God gives you a vision, if God, you know, shows you something through circumstances and confirms it in his word, he will also confirm it with your spouse, with your wife. It amazed me years ago, you know our story, when God sent us to Vermont. Here I have this little Southern California gal that cold weather is 75 degrees. And God laid it upon her heart and confirmed that we were going to go with the frozen chosen in Vermont and we were going to plant the church. We have experienced 60 below zero weather. But yet before we left, God confirmed through my wife and through circumstances that we were to go to Vermont and plant a church. And you know what? Those were 12 of some of the best years in our Christian life, in our married life. God did some incredible things. He confirmed it many ways. I was blown away. The many ways that God confirmed that we were to go. Even the day that we were packing everything in the U-Haul truck pulls up and it says, take an adventure to Vermont on the side of this truck. Luck? Coincidence? Out of 50 states? Wow. Well, God confirms it. And communication is really, really important. The best communication we have as a couple is on our knees praying before the Lord. And God will confirm it through your spouse. And so Jacob took the time to share his vision with Rachel and Leah here. And after all, he was asking them to leave their home and people and go to a faraway land, to another home and to another people. And that's what we did. They're different back there. This was yet another confirmation, as Rachel and Leah, Laban's daughters, agreed. Look at verses 14 to 16. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, "Is there still any portion of our inheritance for us in our father's house?" Meaning that he spent it all, he ripped them off. "Are we not considered strangers by him?" How sad that is, huh? Because of his selfishness and greed and his deception, it's almost as though Rachel and Leah didn't even feel like they were Laban's daughters. You see what sin does? Rachel and Leah answered and said, "Is there still any portion of our inheritance? Are we not considered strangers to him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it." Isn't that amazing? I bet Jacob went, "Whew, thank you, Lord." They could see, after 20 years, it had been 20 long years for Jacob, that he had been under the heavy hand of Laban and been ripped off. His wages changed 10 times, it says. He had put up with all this stuff, and his wives recognized what was going on, and they confirmed it here. Isn't that amazing? They agreed. And notice as well, if you've been with us through this relationship between Jacob and how he got deceived by Laban, even in his marriage, where it caused strife between Rachel and Leah, did you notice now that there's unity even between Rachel and Leah? You see how God works? It's been a long time since they agreed on anything. They hated one another because of what Laban had done to Jacob when he pulled the old switcheroo on their wedding night. If you're not familiar with the story, go back a couple chapters and read it. It's crazy. So immediately they obeyed God and began their journey back to Canaan. Look at verse 17. Then Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. And so now they begin their journey. Notice what happens now, verse 19. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep. Just finished shearing Jacob again, probably. And Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. Where's the coffee pot? No, this is different here. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, and that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. Uh-oh. You see, Laban was an idolater. Idolatry is whatever takes the place of God upon the throne of a person's heart. If there's anything other than Jesus Christ upon the throne of your heart, it's idolatry. And Laban was an idolater. He worshipped idols. They were called the teraphim. What are the teraphim? I'm glad you asked. Well, they were considered good luck charms. And don't we find a lot of that even today in America? Good luck charms. I see them worn around people's necks. I see them on people's dashboards. I see them in people's houses. You know, the teraphim are alive and well today. People worship inanimate objects. Household idols, they're called. Supposedly, they would bring good luck to the household. Well, how's that working for Laban now? It's not working out real well. And so why did they get stolen? We'll see in a moment that it was Rachel that took them and fled. And notice what happens now in verse 22. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days. A 7-day journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream that night and said to him, "Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad." You see how God's working on both sides? And so Laban overtook Jacob, and now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away, unknown to me, and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword?" Look at, we got more fake news going on. "Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs with timbrel and harp." Are you kidding me? This guy's a liar, man. "Did you not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters?" Ask your daughters about that. They would have been treated as strangers. "Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm." That's a joke, too. "But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad.'" This is the trippy part. "And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house, but why did you steal my gods?" And again, is your God vulnerable to be stolen? We have to be very, very careful the things that we worship. We see here that he felt that his gods were stolen away. There's an interesting psalm that David writes. It's Psalm 115. I'll read it for you. It's very interesting. It says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth, why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?' Our God is in heaven." Do you know that the true and the living God is in heaven? He's the God of heaven and earth. "He does whatever he pleases. Their idols, their teraphim, their gods are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak." Imagine that. They worship false idols, teraphim, with mouths that do not speak. Aren't you grateful that our God speaks to us 24/7? He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through that still small voice. He speaks to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. "They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they cannot see." Imagine, people worshiping a God that can't see. Our God sees everything. That's a good thing, but it's also a scary thing, isn't it? God sees everything. Our God does not sleep or slumber. He sees everything that's going on. Not only that, we can take it a step further. Our God knows the intent of every one of our hearts and minds. He knows every single thought. He knows everything. That's the true and the living God. "They have ears, but they do not hear." Imagine that. People praying to these inanimate objects, these false gods, and the false gods cannot help them because they're false and they have ears, but they do not hear. My Bible tells me that the God that we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and the living God, the God of heaven and earth, he bends his ear down to hear the prayers of his people 24/7. We don't get call waiting. God hears us whenever we speak. He loves to hear the voices of his children. "Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle." Our God's hands have nail prints. He went all the way to the cross to die for you and to die for me because he loves us. "Feet they have, but they do not walk." And again, look at our God. We walk with him. We have such a close, intimate relationship with our God that we walk with him. "Nor do they mutter through their throat." Verse 8, this is the part that's pretty heavy duty. "Those who make them," the teraphim, the false idols, "are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." Meaning, they're stupid. People that put their faith and trust in anything but the true and the living God are just like the things, the mouths, the ears, the noses, and the hands, and all those things. They don't speak, they don't see, they don't hear. How sad that people get into that stuff. And it's still popular in the world today. Well, I don't worship idols, really. A lot of idols say Bentley, Chevy, Mercedes-Benz. I had to check my heart the other day. I went to look at my first car online. 55 Ford. I paid $200 for it. $49,000 now. Idolatry. I thought, man, oh man, I'd like to have that car. And all of a sudden I step back and go, why? It's going to rust. It's going to end up in the landfill like all of these other idols. So we have to be very, very careful. And so here we see that Laban was a major idolater. Someone stole his God. How sad, isn't it? That people worship inanimate objects, even to this very day. They would much rather put their faith and trust in some inanimate object than the true and the living God. There's a number of suggestions on why the idols were stolen. They were considered part of the family inheritance, and maybe Rachel, who stole them, thought she would salvage some of what she and Leah had coming in their dowry. It's possible that she may have wanted to get back at her father. Jewish tradition says Rachel took them because she wanted to keep her father from idolatry. So these are just suggestions. There's nowhere in Scripture where it tells us exactly what happened. But in any case, according to Laban, it was a serious matter because someone stole his God. I'm so grateful that no one can steal my God, aren't you? Man, oh man. Rachel had stole the teraphim, and Jacob had stole away from Laban. So how are those teraphim working for Laban? Notice, continuing on, 22. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good or bad. And see how God works on both sides. He's protecting Jacob. He warns Laban. You touch, lay one finger on him and it's curtains, buddy. Paraphrase. And so we see that he overtook him and he comes to Jacob. And why did you steal my gods? He says, it's in my power, verse 29, to do you harm. Do you really think that Laban could have done Jacob harm? There's no way, man. God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And God has every situation under control. But he says, anyway, now you've surely gone. You have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house, but why did you steal my gods? Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from my force. And Jacob is saying, the reason that we left, the reason that we stole away was because he was afraid that Laban would take his daughters by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Uh-oh. Be careful when you make a promise. Be careful that you know all of the facts. Rachel was the love of Jacob's life. He never, ever, ever thought that this would happen. He had no idea that this would happen. And look what he says. Whomever you find, with whomever you find your gods, do not let them live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. Man, he says, hey, whoever has those idols, those teraphim, kill them. Take them out. Wow, he had no idea. And again, we need to make sure that we know all three sides of the story. And so Laban went to Jacob's tent. First place he goes, Jacob. Into Leah's tent, into the two maids' tents. Yeah, pretty intense situation. But he did not find them. Then he went out to Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, unfortunately, she has a little bit of a lying spirit within her. Let it not displease my Lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of woman is with me. And he searched, but did not find the household items. in those days when a woman was on her period, her menstrual cycle. She was not to sit in public. She could not embrace anyone. They were considered unclean according to the law. And so she uses this as an excuse so she could not get up off the camel saddle. And if that would have been the case, then Laban would have discovered that his own daughter had ripped off his idols. Heavy duty. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. Now here in verse 36 down to verse 40, actually 41, Jacob kind of lets Laban have it. Finally, after 20 years, he had had enough. Here Laban comes in accusing everybody of stealing his idols, and now we're at a place right now where Jacob's going to vent 20 years worth of frustration and all that he had to put up with his father-in-law. So then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before me, my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us." He's hot. He probably screamed a little bit louder than I'm talking, I'm sure. "These 20 years I've been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or by night." You see how Jacob was above reproach in all of his business dealings. But Laban was not. Jacob was a former deceiver, a scammer, a liar, a cheat when he had left Canaan. But look at the change we now see in this man. He had every opportunity to get even or get back at his father-in-law with the flocks, but he is above reproach. He says in verse 40, "There I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes." Look what he went through to protect the flocks of his father-in-law, who was deceitful. "Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I've served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. The crazy thing? Not even one thank you from Laban. Not even one thank you. Not one act of gratitude whatsoever. Look at verse 42. "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and of the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." You see why Jacob was able to endure all of these things? Because he knew that God was in control. And sometimes we're tempted to get vengeance ourselves. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Getting even belongs to the Lord, because he can do a whole lot better job than we can, can't he? God has ways. He says, "God has seen my affliction." Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're going through a real difficult time in your life. Maybe somebody's trying to scam you or rip you off. Well, there's a verse for you. God sees your affliction. He sees what you're going through. And whoever that is that's coming against God's child, you need to pray for them. Because God can spank them real good. Oftentimes when people come against me, man, I have this fear in my heart. Not for myself, I have a fear for that person that would come against me. Not because I'm anything, but I am God's child. We need to pray for them, because God has ways, doesn't he? He sees your affliction. God sees the labor of your hands, which means you and I, you may work in a difficult situation. You may work for a Laban. You may go through all sorts of junk. But you know what? We're still to work as unto the Lord. If we're drawing a paycheck, we're to work as unto the Lord. We're to give them 8 solid hours of work. We're not to spend all this time texting or on our cell phone, whatever it might be. You work for that wage, whatever God is paying you through that person. Let God take care of the situation. Make sure that you're above reproach in all of your dealings, especially in your working, that they would not be able to come against you and go, "Look at this guy, man. He's a slacker. He calls himself a Christian." God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. God is very well able to take care of the situation, isn't he? Look at verse 43. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, and now he starts the old Muhammad Ali thing, the bobbing and the weaving, float like a butterfly thing, you know. It is amazing how liars and cheaters and deceivers will not man up and take responsibility for their sin. They would much rather try to justify what they do rather than to crucify what they do. And you know what? If you don't crucify what you do, it's going to be on you. But when you crucify what you do, it's on the cross and Jesus Christ paid for it 2,000 years ago. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. Liar, liar, liar. Pants on fire. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters, or to these my children whom they have borne? Now therefore, come, let's make a covenant. Another deal. Go ahead, make another deal with Laban. And guess what? Out of the kindness of his heart, Jacob does. Notice, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. You see, a covenant is greater than a contract. Today we have contracts and people don't keep the contracts that they sign. Many, many, many cases. There's always fine print. There's always people that are breaking the contract, whatever it might be. But you know what? Did you know that your word is a contract? Do you know that God is going to hold us for every idle word that we speak? He is going to hold us responsible. There was a time in America when you can even make a land deal with your words and with a handshake without a contract, because people were men and women of their word in those days. Times have sure changed. Man, let us make a covenant. So he took a stone, verse 45, and set it up as a pillar. And in those days, they would pile up stones as a marker to be reminded of that particular covenant that they made. And Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap. And they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Yagar Sahadutha, which is Arabic. And Jacob called it Galid, which is Hebrew, same meaning. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me. I'll say it's a heap to this day. Therefore, its name was called Galid, also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. You see the way idolaters think? Jacob knew that God was watching over him. We see that way back at the beginning of the chapter. Oh, may God watch over you and me when we're absent from one another. We serve an omniscient, omnipresent God that sees everything and knows everything. If you afflict my daughters, really? Or if you take other wives beside my daughters, really? The only reason that Jacob had a second wife was because that Laban deceived him. He switched brides on their wedding night. Although no man is with us, God is witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap. Here is the pillar which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. You see, Laban was a little nervous at this time. He knew that Jacob was prospering, had lots of servants and all, and Jacob could have gone in and just taken Laban out. But because of this fear in Laban's heart, oh, we'll put this little pillar and these pile of rocks, this heap here, so that you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judged between us, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. And then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. I don't see a sacrifice for Laban. Jacob made a sacrifice, a covenant, shed blood. In those days, a covenant was sealed by the shedding of blood. Today we have a new covenant. Jesus said, this is a new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The new covenant we have is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and return to his place. Now, a couple of closing comments. I've still got two more hours here. This is the last time that we see Laban in Scripture. To me, that's heavy duty. Laban departs from Jacob and his family, and Laban also departs from the pages of Scripture, and there is no further mention ever of him. That's heavy duty. Secondly, Laban is an unfortunate example of a worldly, covetous, deceitful, selfish man. How sad. Laban knew of the true and the living God, but he didn't know the true and the living God. Do you know there's a difference? There are many people that know of God, but there are very few people anymore that know him personally as their personal Lord and Savior. They know of him, but they do not know him. A witness has been given to him for over 20 years by Jacob. Laban saw the true and the living God in the life of God's servant Jacob. He saw God in Jacob's life. He saw the power of God. He saw the protection of God. He saw the prosperity of God. But Laban walked away from the pages of Scripture as an unbeliever. That's pretty heavy. That's heavy-duty stuff. What does it take for some people to come to the place where they repent of their sins and come to the true and the living God? I was wondering that yesterday with what happened in Hawaii. If there was a nuclear, if there was headed for us right now, what would your prayer be? Who would you pray to? The teraphim or the true and the living God? My prayer would be, don't wound me, take me out completely because I want to go home. He's taking the sting out of death. Hit me good, get me good. Because I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord. But I wonder what people are thinking today in Hawaii. I wonder if there are people in church today just because of fear or what the situation may be. But nevertheless, with Laban, you know what he did? Continued in idolatry. He continued in covetousness. He continued in self-seeking materialism. Laban's life, my friend, is a sober warning to us today. It is not only a sober warning to sinners, but I've got news for you. It is a sober warning to semi-religious people. Do you know there are people in church buildings today? Notice I said church buildings because a building is not the church. It's the people that are in the church that are the people of God, Christians. And there are many people today that are semi-religious, doing their religious duty as if somehow, some way they can gain favor with God. Sitting there in their self-centered ways. Labans in the congregation. Self-worshippers. Self-seeking men and women today. That's the philosophy of America today. It's all about self. It's all about me. As for Jacob, the good news. He left Canaan as a deceiver. He's going back to Canaan as a believer. Transformed life. Where are you today? Still in Canaan? Or have you become a believer? God has brought him through a long and difficult chapter in his life. But that's a good thing. Because in this world, we will have tribulation and testing and trials and troubles. But God will go with you every step of the way, just like we see in the life of Jacob. God was with Jacob from beginning to end. Because Jacob gave his heart in his life and everything to the Lord. Now a new chapter will begin. That's what happens to everyone that gives their life to Jesus Christ. A new chapter begins. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Life for the believer is not always easy, but God goes with us every step of the way. He will never leave us nor forsake us. When we submit to God, when we let God guide our lives and decisions, we don't have to be deceivers. You don't have to scam people. You may get scammed, but God's going to settle the matter, right? He always does. We can endure the trials triumphantly. I don't know how people make it today, going through trials and tests and troubles and all the things we have to deal with in this world without God. How do they do it? I tell you what I used to do. try to drown it. Alcohol, drugs, whatever. Try to numb it. But I got news for you. All of a sudden, when it wears off, you still got the trials and the tests and the troubles and tribulations. They're still there. Matter of fact, you probably made them worse because your wife wants to break your neck. I can relate to that one as well. We develop the kind of character that glorifies God. That's what God desires in your life and mine. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob never, ever fails. So where are you today? Has God spoken to you today? Has God really spoken to you in love? And this is not a message of condemnation. It's a message of love. This is a love letter from God. He loves you. He wants to save you. He doesn't want you to worship any other thing but Him because He is the only true and the living God. Have you given your life to Him? It's up to you. If you've never done that publicly, it's important that you do, because Jesus Himself said, if you deny me, if you deny man, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. But if you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And so if you would like to receive Christ today, I'd like you to stand quickly and make the greatest decision you can ever make for Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Anyone, as we close, do you know that you know? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in a world that's filled with fake news. Thank you, God, that you save people just like Laban. Thank you, God, that you make us new through the shed blood of your Son. Help us to be a reflection of you like Jacob was after his conversion. Help us to be above reproach, full of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be honest in our dealings, even in those times when people try to get over on us, give us a short end of the stick. Thank you, God, that you work everything together for good for those who love you. So I pray for a special blessing upon all of my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord. Lord, just wrap your loving arms around those that may be going through difficult things with the Labans of this world. I pray that the message this morning would encourage their hearts, that they would trust you, and that they would pray, Lord, and allow you to vindicate the situation. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not us. You can do a better job. We should pray, Lord, for salvation for the Labans of this world. I pray, Lord, that you would do that, that you would, through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, reach these people, Lord, that are lost out there. Even as Paul said, but such were some of you. May we not live where we used to be, but may we never forget where we came from, that all things do become new. We thank you, God, that you do bless us and prosper us and multiply all these things, because you are a good God, the true and the living God, and because you love us, and you proved it through sending Jesus Christ into this world to save us. Thank you for the worship this morning, the fellowship this morning. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand one more time.